B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So needless to say, game four last night, the result, incredibly disappointing. And I came in hot with my target focus specifically on Jason Tatum because I don't think I'm wrong in asking for the Jason Tatum moment. Again, your first team All-NBA. You made it, finally. You're one of the great superstars in the league, I think, once you wear that label. First team All-NBA, and he has had some great performances during this postseason run. But in this series, I think he's not been good. And last night, especially in the fourth quarter, where he needed to raise his game, I thought he wilted. And here's a number to back this up to. It's a lot of shaky numbers surrounding Jason Tatum. I'm giving you this this afternoon, and I'm not apologizing for it because he's frustrated me here in this series. But in 14 closeout games in his career, Jason Tatum has taken more than four shots in the fourth quarter in only four games. And he scored more than 6 points in six games. He's made a total of 25 field goals and 14 fourth quarter closeouts. So it's just, what is this? Like, is he not getting the ball enough? Is Marcus Smart making too many shots? He's just, I think that there is a tightness there at the worst possible time so far in this series. Unfair assessment, Chris?
No, not in this particular series. Where did you get those numbers from?
Someone who's doing the research for me.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious. I'm like, wow, that's awfully specific on the closeout
and
clutch numbers. Interesting. Yeah, for this series, I think he's been, by his standards, which as you pointed out, All-NBA first team, he's been below par. I think that's fair to say. I don't think he's been like horrendous, like Draymond Green, but he's been below par, and we're still waiting for his moment. But I'm not as faithless or panicked maybe as you are at this point. I still think his moment could be coming, and I don't think he has to have a 46-point performance or a 43-point performance in one of these games for the Celtics to win the series. If he goes out and has a sort of run-of-the-mill Jason Tatum 30-point game here, I still think they can win because I think they're the deeper team.
Yeah, see, I'm not as measured as Chris. I'm feeling a little bit panicky. I liked the Celtics going into this series, said Celtics in seven, so yeah, we're still on track for that. And knowing them, for whatever reason, they need their backs against the wall when they perform their best, they'll probably win Monday night and then come back home and crap their pants again next Thursday night. And then it's back in San Fran for Game 7, where, again, have the Warriors only lost the one game?
The one home game,
game.
Which the Celtics, lit it up with the 40 points in the fourth quarter.
This, something would have to give there, and I'm not sure I like the Celtics in that Game 7 is all. And so, yeah, I'm concerned now. Yeah, and another observation, Chris. So yesterday, and apologies, too. So Chris and I were doing a Sports Hub Celtics show finals edition yesterday, and then all of a sudden the internet went down at the harp, and poof, there goes the broadcast. People are like, what happened?
I know. We're sorry about that.
Yeah, we lost the internet? What the hell are you going
to
do?
Now, I will tell you, there was the option of trying to stick around and get it reattached, which we did not know whether that would happen or not. But we would have had to track down the bar manager and try and do that.
The place was jammed.
It was really, really busy. Jim nixed that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Jim was pretty much like, look, this guy's not here. You know, let's not, you know, go too far. Now, if we could have just flipped a switch and back on, we would have gone back on.
Yeah.
But Jim was not in favor of trying to track down this busy bar manager for the maybe that we could go back on for the final, 12, 13 minutes?
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that to our engineer, our pal Josh Polotsky. He's like, I could go try to find the manager, a sea of people. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? We're good here. I have a frosty Coors Light.
That's what I was going to say. It wasn't the Coors Light that was waiting for you at the bar that someone came up and bought for you.
Yes, look, the kindness of strangers. It wasn't a stranger. It was my buddy Eddie. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Look, it was time. It was time to get into it. It's time to pregame. Who I also, it wasn't just the performance by Jason Tatum that had me concerned last night. You know what else had me concerned? An observation Chris and I made at the Harp yesterday. You know, a lot of you guys in your 20s, I get it. We've all been there. I can't help but thinking, because we saw this firsthand.
We did. A lot of
young dudes, you know, trying to stunt for the ladies. I know, because we've all done this. You spend a little extra, you know, maybe it's the doing season. We all know it's summertime. I saw some of the outfits last night. It's you know, the weather's warmer. It's doing season. There was definitely guys last night that spent way too much money on an extra ticket to try to impress someone.
Yeah, that special someone.
Yeah. And I wonder how that ended up going as that game devolved into what it devolved into, and emotions ran high and you're pissed off. Did doing season happen for you last night? I'm guessing no. Because we saw some dudes last night that were definitely like, I can't believe I spent this crazy money. But who knows? Gonna get it in tonight. Taking her to game four. Tough ticket. How'd that work out for you? I can't imagine too well.
Well, it probably feels like you lost twice, right? Because it's
right.
Of,
you watch the Celtics lose, and then you lose.
Yeah, because the whole you know possibility of you being in a position to do what Jason Tatum didn't do in the fourth quarter, which is score, is really based on them winning, right? If there's that euphoria that the whole city's feeling of the Celtics are up 3-1, they're going to win a championship. It's like this moment, and you know when people are super excited, you know sometimes inhibitions fade away,
yeah,
right? But so as you're a guy or a woman or really, you know, anybody who took somebody they're romantically interested in to that game in that fourth quarter, did you see it slipping away? And I don't mean the game. did you see it slipping away? Could you feel it just slipping away? Because Jim and I talked about that. We were saying, man, you know, it's good to not be a young guy or young woman bringing a, you know, man or woman or whoever you're romantically interested in to this game, thinking like, okay, I want to impress them and this could be my breakthrough or whatever. Maybe you're somebody who's been in the friend zone for a while. Shell out for that extra ticket. You bring that special someone, guy or girl, that you want to get out of the friend zone with. And you're like, this is going to be the moment, the euphoria, the Celtics are going to win. And then clank after clank after clank. And it's slipping away. And what are you really more concerned with? That you're looking at that scoreboard and thinking the Celtics are going to lose this game, or I've lost my chance to get out of the friend zone?
I think it's probably both. Yeah, all those ill-advised threes, not going to the paint, Steph Curry ripping your soul out. Yeah. No, you see it. You see a loss on the scoreboard and a loss sitting right next to you as well.
Because it's also like, oh, you know, it's the fourth quarter. It's like, oh, you want to grab a drink after this? You know, after this game? Yeah. And then they lose and everybody's dejected. And it's like, let's just take an Uber home, or, you know, just I just want to go home.
You got to be a crazy person to do something like that. Again, we've done it. You learn from experience.
We've all been there.
But,
And by the way, I'm cheap. So when I did it, I took a girl to a North Shore Spirit game. It wasn't even the Celtics in the NBA Finals. I took him to a North Shore Spirit game where Jim Murray was doing the public address announcer feuding with the umpire.
It's true. It's a true story from back in the day.
So as you know, I'm cheap. You know, I have like parking, tickets, Celtics. No. How about I get free tickets to the North Shore Spirit?
Yeah, this is one way. Look, I'm an old man yelling at the cloud, too. Like, you guys in your 20s, too, like, especially those who live in the Seaport, like, what are you doing for work? Are you just Bitcoin bros? Where are you getting your money from? Is it all just like a pyramid scheme? It doesn't make sense. Anyway, this game last night, let's focus back on that. Again, I don't think it's a lot.
Are you sure? Because I was enjoying this conversation.
Yeah, clearly. Jason Tatum, you know, if you see that from Steph Curry last night, can we see that type of performance? I don't need 43, like, I don't know, high 30s. Can you take over a game? Can you have Warriors fans and the Warriors themselves shaking their heads that night, the following day, saying, like, what the hell just happened to us? Where is that from Jason Tatum? Let's go to our guy Tommy and Lynn on last night's game. Hi, Tommy.
Tommy!
What's up, guys? This is what I got to say about the game last night. Jason Tatum, he didn't have a good fourth quarter. Again, messing up, turning the ball over. And if he's this, like, all-star type of player guy, where is that in him? Because he ain't no Kobe Bryant, he ain't no Curry, and I don't know what's up with him. He needs to wake up and have a good game next game. What do you guys think?
I'm glad. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
What do you got? How about Marcus Smart? You guys are concerned about Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown?
We'll get to that part in a sec. I'm glad Tommy brought up Kobe Bryant. Someone, again, wearing the armband.
Okay.
How dare he wear the Laker armband wearing Celtics green? That's an old guy thing. I did hear that from, like, an older gentleman. Like, get
really?
Over it. Who cares?
Well, can I just remind that guy really quickly that at one point when the Celtics weren't very good, Kobe lit up the Celtics at the Garden and got MVP chants from the Celtics crowd?
Oh, that was an ugly moment.
Yeah, so which is worse?
I know. That. The Kobe thing, for someone who respected and continues to respect the late Kobe Bryant and wants to emulate him and wear some of his gear, sure. And this whole thing, like, again, dude, like, where's that moment in this series? Yes, you've had them in some of this postseason run, but it's just, is it maybe that he's thinking about it too much, Chris? Like, I'm trying to get in the mind of Jason Tatum here, and then he's putting too much pressure on himself. There was a tightness there that I saw with him in the fourth quarter. Was really
so it's, this is interesting, yeah, because you're saying that it's like a tightness. When you see, how does that manifest itself? I mean, is it just missed shots, or do you see,
shots,
do you see hesitancy?
Turnovers. Yeah.
Does he look hesitant to you?
There's times, honestly, and maybe not so much last night, but there's been points in the series I felt like you're going for the extra pass because maybe you've fallen in love with your facilitation, which he's gotten so much better at this year.
The full Felger?
Yeah. That rather than, like, taking the shot, sometimes when Steph Curry's on him, dude, you have such a size advantage, like, take him. I don't know. I think maybe he is in his own head and thinking, like, I can be Kobe. I got to be Kobe. And then he's just getting in his own way. I don't know.
I can't imagine, you know, what it's like to be 24 and have to balance all this stuff, because it's challenging. And I think that it's interesting we're having this conversation, and it's a legitimate one based on the way he's played. But the conversation earlier in the season, when nobody thought they were even going to get here, was he's too selfish. He doesn't pass the ball. Now we're like, you're passing too much. So, you know, it's a difficult balancing act, and I think when you're a superstar, I do still think that the superstar training wheels are still on for him, and that he's still trying to figure it out and get there all the way, and this is part of that process, right? You have to sort of go through that process, and it's painful. Speaking of old-timers, you know, there was a time, I think it was the 1984 NBA Finals, Magic Johnson was bad. And people were writing headlines that said Tragic Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
So this happens to great players. You know, you tend to look back at a guy's career and you think, well, it's all linear. You know, he was great every time. It always worked out. But there are always these moments. I mean, even Michael Jordan, you remember, you're old enough to remember. When we were young, Michael Jordan was this guy who scored a lot of points and didn't win jack, right? And so,
and they called him a hun.
Yeah, there's this process you have to go through. And we're watching Tatum do it in real time. And it's not always pretty.
All right, we'll continue to take your calls. One open line you want to bitch about last night's loss, 617-779-0985. We will continue to take those Celtics calls. But Chris has some thoughts on the new dumbed-down Patriots offense that he wasn't able to get out on Felger and Maz yesterday. I want to hear those.
Yeah, I got big-footed by Mike Greenberg.
Here on Gasper and Murray.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Mac, on that front, you know, we talked to a bunch of different people. Bill had mentioned the idea of streamlining the offense this offseason was one of the priorities. We talked to Isaiah Wynn yesterday. He felt like, for lack of a better term, they dumbed it down so you guys can play faster. Is that the sense you're getting here through the spring, that this is about sort of simplifying things a little bit so guys can play faster and play smarter?
Yeah, I think the idea, you know, for every offense is to have an identity and to be able to play fast and play quicker and put stress on the defense is important for any offense. And we want to be able to do that consistently. And we want to be able to do whatever we want to do at any given time. And whether that's a run, pass, play action, short, medium, or long. We're trying to be able to have a little bit of variety and just grow together, you know, with the young guys and the old guys. So we have guys that have been in the system for many years, and then we have some younger guys like myself who've kind of seen both sides. So there's, you know, finding a good balance and then growing together as a unit is the most important part. You know, at the end of the day, football is football, and, you know, offensive football, there's only so much you can do. You can't recreate the wheel with every different system. I think, you know, you either run it or you throw it. It's really that simple. And, you know, that's pretty much all there is to it.
Yeah.
young Mac Jones. Press availability this week. Patriots OTAs. They only had the one, right? The mandatory one. And then it was just canceled day two. And then next week, all canceled. So again, the new Bill Belichick mantra down in Foxborough. No. Days off.
I forgot about that.
Lionel Hutz points at the comma. There's always going to be
a Simpsons reference.
Crowbarred Simpsons, 90s Simpsons reference in this show.
Exactly.
A little Easter egg. Just got to hunt for it. All right, what do you make of this? The dumbing down of the Patriots offense. You know, the spin here from players like Mac Jones is, this is for us, you know. And we all know, look, when certain wide receivers have come here, Chad Johnson for one, you know, it's so, the verbiage is so different that these guys, even if they're, you know, immensely talented, they get their head spinning because they're like, huh, what? Hey, I know one language. I don't know this one. I don't know where the hell to go. But this time, though, is there any question they're dumbing down the offense, Chris, for the coaches?
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. And by the way, I was disappointed listening to that Mac bite there when he was talking about, you know, we're not recreating. I wanted him to say, you know, we're not recreating the wheel and stuff. Yeah. And you either pass it or throw it and stuff. No and stuff. He's already made an adjustment from year one to year two.
There's probably little sticky notes on his bathroom mirror that says, like, enough with the and stuff. Like, they've picked up on it.
I find it endearing. And as someone
it is the same. It is kind of charming. We all have vocal crutches.
Yeah, exactly. Especially as someone who has to speak extemporaneously on the radio. It's not easy. So I understand where he's coming from. I have tons of verbal crutches. But I did want an and stuff. But to answer your question, yeah, this is for the coaches. Because otherwise, why would you have not made this move when, one, you brought in Cam Newton 2 years ago and he came to you right before training camp and didn't really have time to learn the offense. In fact, he said the other day on Ryan Clark's podcast that in week 7 and 8 of that season, he still felt like he was learning the offense. So why would you have not dumbed it down then? Also, why would you have not dumbed it down when you had a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones last year? So if you're dumbing it down now, that has less to do with the players and has more to do with the coaches. It's you've lost the institutional knowledge of Josh McDaniels. You've lost maybe some of the other coaches. Maybe there's a feeling that even some of the coaches that are there now, somebody like Nick Caley, who's the tight ends coach, maybe they don't feel like he's in it for the long haul because he hasn't been clearly appointed or anointed offensive coordinator. You're riding Matt Patricia, a career defensive coach for the most part. He did work early in his career with Scar as an offensive line coach. And then you have Joe Judge, career special teams coach, who spent a year as wide receivers coach, was not well received, pun intended. So you have to dumb it down for these guys to be able to know what the hell they're talking about or look like they know what the hell they're talking about to the players, or otherwise they're going to get exposed. That's why it got dumbed down.
Are you feeling worse and worse about this as this goes along?
Yes.
That it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge involved with the offense in the all-important second year for the quarterback?
I am. Here's my stance on it. I have faith in Matt Patricia to coach the offensive line. It's what he initially was doing. He did it at Syracuse. He played the offensive line in college. I think he'll be fine there. I think he'll be a good offensive line coach. My concern is Patricia and Joe Judge calling the plays. You know, what's the rhythm of offensive play calling? Drawing up game plans. And then one thing Mac Jones did say in his interview was that Bill Belichick's been more involved in the offensive side this year and that he used to sort of be over with the defense. Okay, so Bill's more involved with the offense. I'd say overall that's good. But then who's helping Steve Belichick on the other side in Gerard Mayo? Is he finally going to give some agency to Gerard Mayo over there? What's he going to do? Because basically last year, he had to sort of take over the defense at a certain point. And even the defense he took over couldn't force a punt out of Josh Allen. So when I look at this entire coaching situation for them, it just feels like they're
fingers in the dam.
Yeah, it feels like a shell game to me.
Yeah, again, that those two are involved with this. And I am such a believer in that for a quarterback, you know, continuity is such an important thing. I would think he'd want to keep some of the verbiage the same or do what you can to try to, like Josh McDaniels is going to take a head coaching job, but giving him these two as their coaches, and you see the jumps that some of the young quarterbacks make in this league, going back like Patrick Mahomes, his second year, makes the leap. Josh Allen.
Joe Burrow last year.
Burrow last year. Even Carson Wentz, who's turned into garbage, but he was great that second year. This is a very, very important year, the sophomore year for Mac Jones, and this is what he has to deal with. I don't know how anyone can look at this and be like, oh, no, I think it could work.
I don't think it's ideal. Here's how it could work. Maybe we've overrated coaching here for years and years. And if the quarterback's just really good.
Right. You've mentioned this. Maybe it's like that Mac Jones is just like dummy proof, right? Like he makes this leap and he's so good that it doesn't matter that he's got these two as his coaches.
Yeah. And in which case, obviously, I'm wrong about Mac Jones. I've been wrong, you know, up to this point about him for the most part. But I think that when you look at it, maybe if you have a quarterback who's just that good, because I'm not saying this guy's a bad coach, but I don't think he's like a great coach. Zach Taylor, I mean, I think he's fine in Cincinnati. But
he's just there because he had the scent of McVay on him.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow turns out that he's basically, you know, foolproof. He's very, very good. So is it something Zach Taylor did? Is he this amazing coach? Or is it just you have this great quarterback there? So maybe it is sort of foolproof if Mac Jones is really, really that good. And you do still have Bill Belichick who's going to help out. I would feel better about it if I knew Bill could be involved defensively the way he was last year and they had somebody that they really trusted to turn this offense over to. And Bill could sort of have his input, which was great. But I don't like the idea of Bill having to sort of oversee everything on both sides of the ball at 70 years old. I don't feel good about that.
Quickly, while we're on football, I wanted to get your thoughts on what might happen with the Browns' Deshaun Watson. Did you have a moment to read that New York Times article?
I didn't read it. I read a recap of it that somebody else wrote.
Yeah, it is. So, look, I mean, that he has had this many accusers, where there's smoke, there's fire. I believe that. I read this thing. It was great reporting by Jenny Prentice,
yeah,
who used to be with Sports Illustrated.
Correct. She used to be with the MMQB.
66 massage therapists over 17 months. Turns out that the Houston Texans kind of knew something was up, that they're providing a hotel room for
NDAs
him. NDAs. When there's NDAs, like, they know what's going on. Or at the very least, they're sticking their head in the sand. So now they're probably going to be implicated a little bit more here. One of the ones that, let's see how I can't get too graphic.
Yeah,
one of the,
how you'd say this.
I mean, the man seems like a predatory pervert. And, you know, he really, I never want to yuck another man's yum. I'm a big believer, Chris, in that you can never underestimate the guy next year, like what they're into. One man's slap across the face. Is another guy's scratch back, is another guy's, German gross stuff.
Sure.
He did this one move. You know, you've done yoga. You know child's pose?
Yeah.
For the uninitiated, think of it this way. You lay there almost like a Thanksgiving turkey. Again, he's nude in this. You're on your back. You grab the back of your knees. And essentially what he was asking for was, like, check my oil. And, like, you're showing, like, you could look in there deep. You know, lower your glasses and turn on a flashlight, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, I see in there. A real sick pervert. I don't know. There hasn't been any, like, he hasn't been found, you know, criminally liable or anything like that. He can't play. Like, he's got to be done. Not just this. Like, you read this thing, you're like, this guy's not going to play ever again.
So that was not my takeaway because, again, with the NFL, if a guy's talented enough, and this guy is talented enough, a team will bank that eventually it will go away. That the furor, the uproar, the embarrassment, the issues associated with what's going on will go away because he's that talented. I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, a franchise that has struggled, a franchise that needs a quarterback, I'm not saying it's right, but I understand and I see why in the NFL culture, which dismisses basically anything other than your ability to perform on the field, they would go stick their neck out for this guy. And I think he'll be punished. I think he'll be punished severely. The pressure now is on Roger Goodell, really, I think after that Jenny Vrentis article, to probably come down in a harsher way than I think the league originally was going to. I think you were looking at more like the Roethlisberger thing, which was, what was that, 6 games? But if he
and went it went to, down to four, they
went
reduced
down to
that
four
to four
because Ezekiel, of like counseling.
Ezekiel Elliott got six.
Yes.
So at the very least, like, don't fool yourself. Something's coming. Like, he's going to get whacked 8 games at the bare minimum.
I was thinking 8 to 10.
At the bare minimum. But I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play this whole season. You know, I don't know how you can keep ducking this thing. And now, again, it's up to 66 massage therapists. And I know everyone's lost their mind. And unfortunately, every single person down to a man or a woman has a voice now on social media. So you have...
Did you say unfortunately?
Oh, yeah, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. That's why we're in the state we are as the world. Because everyone's got a voice and everyone's got an opinion. It's the worst. So...
It's just true. See, back in the day, if you wanted your voice heard, you had to sit there and write a letter, and that took time, and that could get things done because you took the time to write a letter. Now, 15 seconds, tweet, everyone lost. With he has these people that are defending him. I get it. 66?
Yeah.
66.
Ridiculous.
It ain't six. There's another six in front of that. You think this is all made up? I think that's just insane.
Well, also, the idea should be that if you're not doing this for sexual gratification, which he sort of denies, but it's very clear he is, if you're doing this because you're a professional athlete and you need massages and it's maintenance for your body and this is your profession, then you're not going through 66 different massage therapists and you're doing a lot more to check out their credentials than looking at their Instagram profile. It's pretty much impossible for him to dodge the idea that this was nothing but a means for him to provide himself with sexual gratification.
And like in the case of most, if not all, predators, you're trying to feel some sort of level of power over that other individual. Again, how, as a professional football player, does it help you to lay on your back like a Thanksgiving turkey? You get in child's pose. You know the move, Chris.
I do, yeah, no, because I do Pilates. Yeah.
And then you open that up as wide as you possibly can. And then you're asking that person, why don't you go take a look? How's that help you on the field? I don't know. Your calls on the Celtics, game four, because that's where we've been focused.
Wait, I have an answer for you. Hold on. Because you have spoken quite frequently about tight booty syndrome. Maybe that relieves it.
Right. So this is what Tatum needs. Lay on your back, get in child's pose, in the nude, and have someone, with a
professional.
Yeah.
Celtics professional. Somebody who works with the team.
Like a greased-up mechanic. Lower his glasses. Turn on the flashlight. I can see in there. No, a little tight. All right, let me see if I can fix that. Okay. Fixed. 617-779-0985. That might have went a little too far.
Yeah, we're going to get in trouble for this.
Your calls and thoughts on the Celtics and anything else we've touched on next.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the lead for Draymond. At the free throw line, looking for Steph. Has him. Steps back on Derek White and hits the big three. Timeout, Ime Udoka. And Golden State is a minute 42 away from another monster road win at evening the NBA Finals at two games apiece.
Man, great shot there by Steph.
Yeah, that really sucked last night. And I make no apologies for saying that my target is on directly on Jason Tatum, because if Steph Curry can have a night like that, and Steph Curry can have a game like game one, at least in that first half, which is obviously the Celtics withstood, but where's that from Jason Tatum? Curry, superstar, having superstar moments in the NBA Finals, as superstars are typically want to do when you go on to win the title. Where is it from Jason Tatum? And Chris's counter, well, fair, he has had these moments, especially in, like the series against Milwaukee, where it's like, okay, he's going off. He's showing you he can do it. Great. But I'm a greedy pig. I need it here. I need it now. That's all. Where's the transcendent moment from Jason Tatum in the NBA Finals?
Can I give you another perspective on this? Because there was something before the game flipped that was interesting that I happened to hear on the broadcast. I get the YouTube TV, so it's easy to, watch on the phone or whatever.
Okay, bragger.
And no, I'm just saying.
Busting balls. Go ahead.
Okay. It is very good, though. It's a great product. But during the game, Mark Jackson, about Tatum and Brown, said, as good a 1-2 punch at the 2-3 position as there is in the league. So is it possible that maybe, if I can shift your focus, maybe it's not about Tatum outplaying Curry. Maybe it's about Tatum and Brown together being able to basically cross out Curry, being able to balance that equation for the Celtics. Like, not one of them doing it, but the fact that together, as a tandem, that they can go out there and balance this out.
Okay, sure. Yeah, because you know what? I also thought Brown late wasn't great. Marcus Smart taking too many shots. Like, it was the collective, too. So, all right, maybe I'm a little bit unfair or off in that I'm just
I'm not saying you're being unfair. I'm just saying maybe Tatum doesn't have to play like Curry. Maybe that's the beauty of the Celtics. If Tatum and Brown together are able to go out there and play at such a high level, and the drop-off between Curry and the next guy for the Warriors is as precipitous as it's been, then maybe that's enough for the Celtics.
Yeah, it could be. All I know is that was unfortunately just so predictable what ended up happening last night. I thought for the first three quarters, I was like, oh my God, they actually, you know, they showed up. It was a really good competitive game. It was a blast to watch. I was like, oh, they're not going to do it. They're not going to end up laying a wet fart at home after a great performance the night before. No, they're going to, they've showed up. They're going to win this game. Nope. No. They really let that one get away from them late at the worst possible time. So your thoughts, I've yammered enough. Joe and Lincoln on the Celtics and the loss last night. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First of all, I got to get the image of Deshaun Watson out of my head. That's not easy. But,
oh, and quickly, Joe, I stand corrected. It's not, it wasn't a child's pose. It was happy baby.
Happy baby,
happy baby is the pose. But go.
Child's pose, you're kneeling on the ground. Anyway, I've gotten too involved with the Celtics. I just have to admit it. I have no idea. I can't predict what they're going to do. But they're like my errant children. Like, don't you say anything bad about Marcus or Jason. What's the matter with you? But they're going to do what they're going to do. They're probably going to win next game because that's what happens. When they look like crap one game, they look better the next game. It makes no sense as a sports fan. I have no idea what to do, but I'm invested all the way. What can I say?
Thanks, Joe. I'm going to let you go on that because your phone wasn't too great. But you know that is their calling card this postseason. They're consistently inconsistent. And it's almost, unfortunately, now it is becoming consistent that after a game like Game 3, they follow it up like a game like Game 4.
I would agree with that. One thing, I said this yesterday, and somebody rightfully, you know, pointed out that I was wrong. I said something had to give in terms of the teams. Both these teams have been really good and haven't lost back-to-back games in the playoffs. And someone rightly pointed out the Celtics could win the series without winning back-to-back games. But I'm going to reframe and rephrase what I said, because technically I was wrong. I think the team that wins this series is going to win back-to-back games. I do not think it's going to go starting with the Celtics win-loss, because that means the Celtics win the series in seven and win three times at Chase Center. I don't think that's possible. So I think whoever wins this series, somebody here is going to win back-to-back games to win this thing. And hopefully it's the Celtics, but that's what it's going to take. I don't think they're going to be able to just go win-loss all the way to the title.
Brian Robb covering the Celtics for Mass Live. Has your confidence been shaken a little bit here?
Honestly, no. It's a situation where this is what this team is, and they've done it all postseason long. Is the margin for error a lot more slim in this series? Absolutely. You haven't had to face someone as proven in the playoffs as Curry before that can put together these type of performances and five or six games, but the Celtics have answered the call every time in the postseason, whether it was game six in Milwaukee, game seven in Miami, in some real tough spots here. So again, can they do it again? We'll see, but confidence wise, it's the same old story here. I just think that this is how the season is going to go.
Donnie in Boston on last night's game. Go ahead, Donnie.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'd like to hear what you guys have to say is comparing back to, I grew up in the 80s where we had, Larry Bird and Parrish and Magic Johnson and them, and, you know, the difference. And, you know, I've also heard about age, and I'm young 50s, and, you know, I honestly don't, I don't look at the age. I look at the person, you know, and I think that, you know, even the their team has a lot of older guys that tells you that they have experience. Can they run as fast and stuff? I don't know. You know, I mean, I watch the games and, you know.
I'm going to let you go on that, Donnie. So I think this is this Tatum's time? Let's not forget, he's just 24.
Yeah.
So you believe in that? I mean, like that there's usually that there's, if you look at the history, the NBA Finals, when these guys win their first championship, there's this line around like 27, 28-ish. You know, there's some outliers. Kobe was very young.
Yeah.
The first title for Kawhi Leonard, I think he was 22. Dwayne Wade, he was 24 like Tatum, but also obviously had Shaq in, what was that, 2006?
Kobe had Shaq.
But I don't know, like he's been, he's been seasoned in the league now, what, 5 years, five seasons? Like, is the overall take on Jason Tatum that maybe we're a little, you got to give him more time here. He's a little bit early.
I do think he's a little early, but we've reached this point of the finals. Like, that's not an excuse for him.
Yeah.
They've gotten to this point. He had the game he had against Milwaukee. Do I think Jason Tatum has reached his peak as a player? No. I think he's going to continue to get better. So I don't think this is like the best Jason Tatum's ever going to be. And again, I still think some of the superstar training wheels are on in terms of learning how to balance getting his own versus being able to get other guys involved. But he certainly is good enough to play better than he's played in this series.
Drew in Boston on Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, guys. So I think we're skipping over laying some of the blame on the coach as well, because if you look at not just this series, but multiple series now, how they come out of the half and just get blown out of the building, that's on the coach to not make adjustments or adjustments to the other coaching staff's adjustments. That's the first point. The second is he's got a coach at the end of the game within the last, let's say, 3 minutes, that Marcus Smart should not be taking a shot. Like, he should have relayed calls in, signals, whatever. If Smart's bringing the ball up or he's just on the court, he should never be the guy taking the shot. Like, 0.0 shots in the last 3 minutes for Marcus Smart, especially contested ones. And what is he doing? Not educating Marcus Smart on when you have a lead at the end of the game, 5 minutes left in a quarter, 5 minutes left in a half, up six, up seven. Do not let the ball roll up the court. We're trying to actually kill clock there, guy.
Why does he
what
do
are
that?
You doing?
Yeah, that is weird. He's been doing that all playoffs long. I don't understand that.
No, me either. B-Rob, is there any strategy behind that, or is it?
He liked when Rondo did it. I don't know. I've got nothing on that one. I agree. It's maddening, guys. Just the way the offense has gone at the end of these game situations all season long, and honestly, all postseason long, they haven't really pulled out a close game yet that's gone down to the wire, unless they had a huge cushion like they did in Game 7. So they have to prove this in the next few games here.
We've seen this movie too many times. This is getting exhausting. It's great to have it. Like, it's fun.
Yeah,
glad
it's
you're
fun.
Here
I'm glad
for
we're still talking this.
Content's sake. It's great, but. Yeah, it is also exhausting, too. All right, well, with that, let's wrap and get to five questions for Chris.
So you're done with your vodka-fueled rage?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'll tell you what, though. I still need some grease in the body to soak up last night's booze, and I'm going to leave here and get a cheeseburger the size of a toilet seat. go ahead, hit it there, B-Rob.
I got five questions for Chris Casper of the Globe. I got five questions.
I feel like we haven't done this in ages, so let's jump right in here.
Okay.
Five questions for Chris Casper. The Boston Globe got nothing to do with sports. Question number one, it's all a buzz. Guys our age, you know, Gen X, Chris, all a flutter that movies are back and Top Gun 2 is out. Now, you were you only did the Sports Hub Celtics last week. I went already with my unpopular opinion that I'll never see it and that the first Top Gun is overrated and stinks.
Disgraceful.
But have you seen
your worst take ever?
Have
Boo.
You seen the new Top Gun?
I have. I actually saw it in San Francisco the day of Game 2. I saw it at the first showing, 10:25 in the morning. Got up, went to see it. Fantastic.
Really grinding out there, huh?
Yeah. everything I wanted. Tremendous movie. It was great. I loved every second of it. I waited 30 years for that movie, and it was worth the wait.
And it's lived up to expectations. I've seen some people on Twitter, which seems crazy. It's like one of the greatest movies of all time. Like,
I mean, greatest. It depends on what. It's one. I would say it's one of the greatest like popcorn blockbusters of all time for what that genre is. And there is obviously the willful suspension of disbelief that goes into it. For what that genre is, it's up there. It's definitely up there.
All right. So scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, you give it a Gasper rating of what?
9.
Wow. That's
it was really. I want to see it again. I there's not a lot that will drag me out to the movie theater, as you know. Movie theater's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I would absolutely pay to go again.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, it's just not something I'm
great
into.
Movie.
And that first one, too, I just didn't see the point.
Why?
Yeah,
what's the issue with the first one? You got to explain this.
I'm not. So, for one, I'm not a what's his face? The Scientology freak.
Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise. I'm not a Tom Cruise fan. Okay. I don't really like many of his movies. I just
like the music, the
planes. Too slick, too schlocky. If you want to go to like 80s, like Let's Love America type stuff, like Red Dawn. Like I would watch Red Dawn over and over and over again.
Good movie. Not as good as Top Gun.
Top Gun's too blech. Yeah, just wasn't for me. I don't know.
Like in Red Dawn, though, when they, like, execute everybody's dad, like, in the middle of the town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of
Wolverine.
Cool. Wolverine.
Yeah. Question number two. So he played a couple of shows at Fenway this week, Chris. Yeah. So reviews, though, for Paul McCartney, not great. So should these olds hang it up and not destroy their legacy?
No, because I think it's pretty cool to see, like, just to say, like, for another generation to be able to see Paul McCartney. You know me, I'm not Mr. Music, obviously, you know. And I'll say this, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority of this, but like Paul McCartney and Wings, I like that Paul McCartney.
Yeah, but if you can't sing anymore and you can't sing them right and it's mostly backup singers doing the job, then it's time to hang them up.
I'm just going to say, if Stevie Nicks is still out in these streets, then Paul McCartney
and she was terrible. I've said many times before, my calling, if not this, should be as a band manager, and I would be the worst of the band managers, but you would make crazy money, which means I make that crazy money. But if you're not going to play them right, you get the cattle prod. Question number three. Look, just do it right. That's what the people want. What's the perfect amount of bathrooms in a house?
Oh, perfect amount of bathrooms in a house? Well, how big's the house? What do you mean? Like any? Like I'm LeBron James. I can have as many as I want? Or
say it's like just you and I, or like in our situations. You're just married. You have a spouse. What's the perfect amount of bathrooms?
Four.
Wow, okay. At the bare minimum, you need two.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm coming up on a 3-year anniversary of being married this August.
Okay.
And people, you know, you do the cameos. $15, best $15 you'll spend, by the way. Find me on Cameo. Occasionally, like, hey, what's up? I'm getting married. Give me some advice. The best advice I can give you is this. Make sure you have two bathrooms.
I would agree with that.
These are tough economic times for people. I get it. Not everyone can afford a house with two bathrooms. Find a way. Put an outhouse out back. Make sure you have two bathrooms. She has her bathroom full of her gross stuff and the toothpaste tube that no woman in the world knows how to actually disperse the toothpaste from. Go in there. It's a disaster. None of them know how to use it. And you have your gross bathroom where it's pube city. They don't want to deal with it. That's two bathrooms. At bare minimum, you have to have.
So we have the two bathrooms. So one thing that my wife hates that I like, my wife thinks it's gross that I read magazines in the bathroom.
Oh, I mean, I eat in the bathroom. Same. Like, and they want nothing to do with that.
She's so like, how can you read and then put that magazine back? I'm like, what's wrong with that?
There's that old saying, like, happy wife, happy life. You want the happy wife? Two bathrooms.
I agree.
Make sure
at
you
least
have two.
Bathrooms. But I would like four.
This is the fourth question here. Last night, Dell and Sonia Curry, still attractive, by the way, attended the game, the NBA Finals game, with their new partners.
Yes.
Chris, you ever been at a social event that an ex was also attending? And how awkward was it?
I'm trying to think. Yes. I don't think it was. I mean, it's not that. As long as you've moved on and, like, you have somebody, you know. It's awkward when you don't. When it's, like, you and the other person's moved on. And I saw Del Curry's other. Sonia Curry is wildly attractive. But I saw Del Curry's new lady, and she looked very attractive. So good for him. It seems like they're both doing well and happy.
Final question. If you were to rank places that have the most gross germs, what is number one?
Places like a room or like a city?
Well, I mean, for me, it's an easy answer. It's Chuck E. Cheese. But do you have a place that's like, because I this comes up because a friend of mine took his kid to Chuck E. Cheese this morning. It's what you want to do as a parent. You got to bring them somewhere so they'll have fun and you get out of your hair. But the pizza, always disgusting. He's like, no, it tastes like nostalgia. No, it tastes like death. And the place is full of germs. You're going to get sick. So do you have a place outside of Chuck E. Cheese that's number one for gross germs?
Any gas station bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I'd say gas station bathrooms. Also, I'm weirdly, like, creeped out by, you know, like, rest stop bathrooms. Like, you know, Pike or, like, any state.
I'll go in the woods. I want nothing to do with those.
Give me the creeps.
Yeah, those are the type of the bathrooms, too. You look to your left, you're like, what's this hole for? Ah! Yeah, look, I've sat down in one before. You gotta go. But you look, why would that be here? Is someone looking to make a deposit? Nope.
Oh, boy.
That's not it. Well, anyway. 617-779 is the 0985, the phone number to get on with Tim McCone and Leroy Irvin.
All
who
right.
Coming up next, who I'm sure will be all about the Celtics and their Game 4 loss last night. Thanks to Brian Robb of Mass Live, covering the Celtics, producing the show. Good luck with your flight, and good luck in San Francisco. Violent San Francisco, B-Rob. Hopefully you get there safely and make it home safely. Chris, always a pleasure, pal.
This is fun.
Always a good time to see you, and see you next week and on Felger and Mazz. And I'll talk to you Tuesday on Felger and Mazz, big golf tournament for the station on Monday. Maybe I'll see somebody there. I should stop talking now. Bye.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour of Gasper Murray has been brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They want to help you prepare your car for all your road trips. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for coupons. Save on your next oil change.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.